for all he has done. I hold no claim to the work, as it was, it is, and will always remain his. I beg you to point out to me my defects, so that they may not spoil his work. I know there have been things which could have been better, but in all sincerity I have tried to refuse nothing to God, to answer his every call. Our Lord had asked for nuns covered with the poverty of his cross. There are the first 10. They have lived that life generously and cheerfully. If I had known that this is what our Lord would give me, I would have been afraid to answer the call because of my unworthiness to be their mother. My heart is very full today with gratitude to God and to you for all you have done for our society, especially for taking up the work under your own personal care and love. The only way we can show you our gratitude is by becoming true missionaries of charity. Your Grace, please pray for me that I may give myself completely to our Lord.
The Archbishop, touched by the witness of this group of young, fervent religious, replied to Mother Teresa on the day of profession, expressing his energetic support of the new community.
That long aspiration and call of God, after a few years, had become a reality, not only a start, but a tested and confirmed institution, declared capable of life, endowed with a strong vitality, and a capacity for a lasting and fruitful apostolate. I wholeheartedly shared in your joy this morning. Alleluia.
He would later admit,
I am profoundly grateful to God, who has allowed me to be his instrument in initiating this great work through you and your sisters.
Many a soul has been brought back to God.
The accomplishments of her community began to attract admiration and praise as articles describing her work began to appear locally and internationally. Mother Teresa shared her concern with the Archbishop.
I am afraid we are getting too much publicity. A few things I heard this evening have made me feel cold with fear. God preserve us. Please pray for me, that I be nothing to the world, and let the world be nothing to me.
In the face of this danger, her well-established humility, the persistent darkness, and the numerous demands of the expanding work helped her to prevent pride and a worldly spirit from entering her heart. The fact that she and her sisters were at times in real physical danger served to keep their feet on the ground.
We had again trouble in Caligat, Nirmal Hride. They very coolly told me I must thank God that up to now I have not received a shot or a beating from them, since all those who work for them, death has been their reward. Very peacefully I told them that I was ready to die for God. Hard times are coming. Let us pray that our society will stand the test of charity.
In the midst of all these trials, Mother Teresa was bolstered by the fervor of her sisters, as she wrote to the Archbishop.
Today our little sister Maria Goretti went to our Lord. The greatest joy of her life was to be a missionary of charity. Such a real one was she, that often when I saw her or spoke to her, I was glad to have made the sacrifice of Loreto to become the mother of such a child. Now she is with Jesus, the first missionary of charity in heaven. Now with Sister in heaven, we shall get many vocations.
Though not without struggles, Mother Teresa's work among the poor continued with remarkable results. She was aware that it was God's work. She was but an instrument in bringing souls to God and God to souls. For such a mission, prayer and sacrifice were essential. United to Jesus' redemptive suffering, prayer and sacrifice leavened the work for the poor. This vision of faith guided her in the establishment of her sick and suffering co-workers, as she explained to Archbishop Perrier.
I don't know if I have told Your Grace, but I have started with the sick a spiritual relationship. Every sister has a second self to pray and suffer for her, and the sisters will share her good works and prayers with her. Spiritually, they are children of the society, so I have some in England, Brussels, Antwerp, Switzerland, Calcutta, who have joined, men, women, children. They would like some short prayers to say in union with us. Miss De Decker and Nicholas Gomes are my second self. There are now 18 on the list. Please, will you give your blessing to this work? It is their prayers and sufferings that are blessing our apostolate. It makes them so happy to have to suffer for somebody to be a missionary of charity, though they be blind, lame, tuberculosis patients, crippled, having cancer. Often when I find the work very difficult, I offer the suffering of these, my children, and I find help comes at once. I think many of our sick and suffering would be sanctified much quicker if they suffered to satiate the thirst of Jesus. When your grace comes, I shall explain myself better. I am 25 years in religion. Please thank God for all He has done for me.
As her interior darkness became harder to bear, anniversaries of significant dates stood as reminders of God's interventions in the little group's short history. On such occasions, Mother Teresa could not help but recognize the results of her yes to God and express her deep gratitude.
On the 21st December will be 5 years that the work in the slum started, and I want to thank Your Grace for all your personal interest and fatherly love you have shown the young society. Many a soul has been brought back to God. Many a dying person has been sent to God. Many a child has been taught to love God. Many a sick person has been comforted and taught to suffer for love of God. And above all, the generous and self-sacrificing lives of our young sisters must have given much reparation to the Sacred Heart. And for all these, I beg you to thank God with me. My own soul remains in deep darkness.
In the midst of this evident fruitfulness, almost a year after her first disclosure to the Archbishop, Mother Teresa again reported to him that
my own soul remains in deep darkness and desolation. No, I don't complain. Let Him do with me whatever He wants.
Surrendering anew, she sacrificed willingly the consolation of felt union with Jesus for the challenge of living by pure faith. This experience made her even more understanding and compassionate toward others, enabling her to offer encouragement and practical advice.
When it is very hard for you, just hide yourself in the Sacred Heart, and there my heart, with you, will find all the strength and love. You want to suffer in pure love, rather, say, in the love that He chooses for you. You have to be a spotless host.
Despite the night within, Jesus was Mother Teresa's sole focus. She loved Him and wanted to be united with Him, especially in His passion. A true portrait of her soul, not swayed by feelings but steadfast in faith, emerges from the explanation she gave to Jacqueline De Decker of the call of a missionary of charity.
17th October 1954. Laus Deo Maria Quae. Glory to God through Mary. My sister Jacqueline Teresa, your very welcome letter of the 11th was most gladly received. I have been longing to get news from you. How the good God loves you, my own dear little sister, when He draws you so much to His cross. If you were not my second self, I think I would envy you. But like that, I rejoice, because you are my own second self. You suffer much, and your soul is crucified with pain. But is it not that He is living His life in His Jacqueline? What a beautiful vocation is yours, a missionary of charity, a carrier of God's love. We carry on our body and soul the love of an infinite, thirsty God. And we, you and I, and all our dear sisters and the second selves, will satiate that burning thirst. You with your untold suffering, we with hard labor. But are we not all the same, one? As you, Father in me, and I in you, said Jesus. You have learned much. You have tasted the chalice of his agony. And what will be your reward, my dear sister? More suffering and a deeper likeness to him on the cross. I feel unworthy to be your sister. So when you pray, ask Jesus to draw me closer to himself on the cross, that there the two of us may be one. Dear Marguerite, how hard she must find it to be totally blind. But she can see Jesus better, and this is the one thing that matters. Please tell our dear brother Clement that he can be a real John the Baptist, for our work is just that, to prepare the way. After us, other nuns and friends enter the field of souls. I am really very proud of you, a real missionary of charity. Be brave and keep smiling. You know he loves you with a tender, eternal love. Pray for me. I have much to do. Much love from your sister in Jesus, Mother Teresa.
A carrier of God's love, the love of an infinite thirsty God. This was Mother Teresa's lofty concept of a missionary of charity. The sisters engaged in arduous work, and their co-workers, who suffered illness and disability, united in the common aim of satiating the burning thirst of Jesus on the cross.
Spouse of Jesus Crucified.
Interior darkness was Mother Teresa's privileged way of entering into the mystery of the cross of Christ. Knowing that suffering should be expected as part of the calling of a missionary of charity, she instructed one of her sisters.
My dearest child, thanks for the lovely consoling letter of the 14th. Keep looking at the Sacred Heart. Why worry if it be TB or not? You are his, and it is his gift to you, his spouse. Was it not Mother who taught you to say for the profession, I desire to become the spouse of Jesus crucified? It is not Jesus glorified or in the crib, but on the cross, alone, naked, bleeding, suffering, dying on the cross. So if you are the first one in the society whom he chooses to be alone on the bed of the cross, why, my child, we must thank God for all, for this, his special love for you, for me, and the society. You are but a child still, and life is beautiful, but the way he has chosen for you is the true way. So smile, smile at the hand that strikes you, kiss the hand that is nailing you to the cross. I don't believe, just as you, that you have TB, but let them do all that they want with you. Be like a little lamb. Smile at everyone. Don't worry, I shall beg the money and will come to see you as soon as I hear more definite news from Sister. Let them look up and see only Jesus. I have promised Our Lady 25,000 memorares for your cure, and we shall say it within these 9 days. Please thank Mary Rose for her kindness to you. I am very happy with whatever God does with you all. You are all his. Love Jesus and keep a smiling heart for him. All these disturbing thoughts come from the devil. Ignore them all. God bless you, my child. Mother. A deep loneliness in my heart.
In January 1955, a little less than a year since she had last mentioned the darkness to Archbishop Perrier, Mother Teresa noted a new element in her experience. Deep loneliness. This loneliness, her traveling companion from this point forward, resulted from her apparent separation from God and those she trusted most. This sense of alienation made her cross harder to bear.
Your grace. I am very grateful to your grace for coming. I always feel the burden a little lighter after you have been. I don't know, but there is such a deep loneliness in my heart that I cannot express it. For months I have not been able to speak to Father Van Exem, and I find it harder and harder to speak. How long will our Lord stay away? Please pray for me. Your grateful child in Jesus Christ, Mother Teresa, Missionary of Charity.
In this distress, she was longing for Jesus to return, but it seemed as if he had turned away from her. The Archbishop replied with a lengthy letter, encouraging her and offering possible reasons for her inner condition. He suggested that the experience might be a temporary trial.
God seems to hide himself for a while. That may be painful, and if it lasts long, it becomes a martyrdom. The little flower passed through that, like the great Saint Teresa did, and, we may say, most, if not all, the saints.
He warned her, too, that it could be a temptation of the evil one to discourage her in the good work she was doing. Not failing to strike his typical note of caution and prudence, he hinted once more at what he considered hastiness on her part. Not grasping the depth of her affliction, the Archbishop even suggested that her condition could be a result of being overworked or physically fatigued. Though she said that she found them most helpful, his counsels did not really address the roots of her difficulty.
Offer each other to Christ for souls.
Mother Teresa continued to be cheerful and enthusiastic. Hers was no mere superficial joy, but a deeply spiritual one. She explained the reasons behind it in an encouraging letter to her sick and suffering co-workers.
My very dear sisters and brothers, for a long time I have been wanting to write, and each time the post goes without my having written. But be assured that every one of us claim your love before the throne of God, and there every day we offer you, or rather offer each other, to Christ for souls. We, the missionaries of charity, how grateful we must be, you to suffer and we to work. We finish in each other what is wanting in Christ. What a beautiful vocation is ours, to be the carriers of Christ's love in the slums. Your life of sacrifice is the chalice, or rather our vows are the chalice, and your suffering and our work are the wine, the spotless host. We stand together holding the same chalice, and so with the adoring angels satiate his burning thirst for souls. My very dear children, let us love Jesus with our whole heart and soul. Let us bring him many souls. Keep smiling. Smile at Jesus in your suffering. For to be a real missionary of charity, you must be a cheerful victim. How happy I am to have you all. You belong to me as much as every sister belongs to me here. And often, when the work is very hard, I think of each one of you and tell God, look at my suffering children, and for their love, bless this work. And it works immediately. So you see, you are our treasure house, the powerhouse of the missionaries of charity. Pray for me, dear second selves, and keep smiling for Jesus and for me.
Mother Teresa's inner pain did not diminish. She longed to unburden her soul to someone she trusted, yet she did not. She found it harder to communicate with her spiritual director, Father Vanek Sem. Her great reverence for God's action in her soul, especially the mystical experiences related to her call, made her reluctant to open her soul to anyone else. So she chose to suffer this ordeal in silence rather than disclose the secret of
my love for Jesus and his tender love for me.
All that was left was to write to Archbishop Perrier.
Today we have finished our sixth day. The more I pray, the clearer it grows the desire of Christ to intimate likeness to him, and this to do by more motherly love, affection, and attachment to every individual sister, and by sweetness and kindness, even in the tone of voice withal, especially when I make a remark or have to refuse the poor. This year I have often been impatient and even sometimes harsh in my remarks, and I have noticed each time I have done the sisters less good. I always got more from them when I am kind. One thing is worrying me. Sometimes when faced with difficulty about some sisters, I have had to speak to Father Van Exem or Father Cordiero. How far is this against charity? Can I keep silence? If I have spoken to Father Van Exem, it is because he takes your place. If to Father Cordiero, for help through the instruction and also his advice has always been very wise, and I have great need of learning. Each time I have done it to either of them, I have been to confession. What should I do? To me this is uncharitable, and yet I have to find the answer to the difficulty that sometimes comes from the sisters' different characters, etc. Yet, Your Grace, how we have to thank God for our good sisters. In spite of all their shortcomings, they are very fervent and generous. God must be very pleased with the great amount of sacrifices these young sisters make every day. God, keep them so. Before, I used to get such help and consolation from spiritual direction. From the time the work has started, nothing. Even myself have nothing to say, so it seems. I would very much want to have once a good talk, but the thought of having to tell all that is connected with the call keeps me back, and so I speak to no one. Please forgive me for writing all this. You have so much to do. Please pray for me, that I answer him generously. Only that blind faith that carries me through.
Because Archbishop Perrier was her superior, Mother Teresa was expected to write a report to him at least once a month about her spiritual life, the concerns of her community, and their apostolate. She also sought his counsel or permission on certain points. In this correspondence with him, she shared, for the most part, the ordinary details of daily life, but occasionally she remarked on her darkness. These seemingly casual references give a glimpse of the depth of her interior trial and the magnanimity of her response.
15th December, 1955. Your Grace. In 1956 will be the first 10 years since Jesus spoke of the work. May we have the coming year as a Eucharistic year for our society? We will try to spread through the slums the love and the true devotion to the Blessed Sacrament in thanksgiving for our society. On the 12th, it was beautiful. Thank you for coming. 130 little ones. Really, the words of our Lord are being fulfilled. The blind, the lame, the sick, the poor, I want them. From Shishu Bhavan, Home for Children, we had 12. I am enclosing the work of the sisters for 1956. I have written down all that they do, so that it will give you a better look into their work. God has been very wonderful to use the poor instruments for his work. With the whole of my heart, I can say, I claim absolutely nothing in all these, only that the sisters and I have let God use us to the full. I would be very happy if you wrote a letter to all the sisters. They would be so very much helped. We have more than any other congregations a right on your love and care because we are your very own. It is because of you that we are. Next year there seem to be about 10 or 12 vocations. When they will write officially, I shall write to you. The sisters are all doing very well. Even Sister M has changed completely. I have really much to thank God. I am writing long before Christmas because during those days you have plenty to do. Will you be able to come for Holy Mass on the 28th? May I take the sisters to Bandel on the 31st December? We are having our Christmas treat at St. Lawrence. We shall have plenty to do to prepare for 2400 and to find conveyance for all of them. God has provided, He will provide again. The Marian Society ladies have bought new clothes for 1,212 slum Catholic children. To the Hindus we shall give in September during the Pujas and the Muslim children for Eid. We have got a new harmonium. May I send you our old one for some mission station? It was in good order, but Reverend Father Bowens kept it in St. Teresa's for a long time. Now it is not so good. There is a wonderful spirit of sacrifice among the sisters. The crib is nearly full with straw. For Christmas, we shall send you some for your crib. Captain Cheshire gave me a first-class relic of the little flower given to him by Celine. In return, I gave him my rosary. His work and our work will complete each other. He was very much impressed by Nirmal Hride. Pray for me, for within me everything is icy cold. It is only that blind faith that carries me through, for in reality, to me, all is darkness. As long as our Lord has all the pleasure, I really do not count. I beg a renewal of my general permissions, to give, to receive, to spend, for the sisters and the society, for our poor, and all those who need our help and are dependent on us. May I also have the permission to give the required permissions to the sisters, and I beg to be admonished for all my faults. Your devoted child in Jesus Christ, Mother Teresa, Missionaries of Charity. I will satiate thy thirst for souls.
Only in February 1956 did Mother Teresa offer Archbishop Perrier a more detailed description of her spiritual experience, providing a fuller picture of an interior affliction for which it seemed human help could offer no remedy.
Your Grace, I want to say to you something, but I do not know how to express it. I am longing, with a painful longing, to be all for God, to be holy in such a way that Jesus can live his life to the full in me. The more I want him, the less I am wanted. I want to love him as he has not been loved, and yet there is that separation, that terrible emptiness, that feeling of absence of God. For more than 4 years, I find no help in the direction of Reverend Father Celeste Van Exem. Yet I obey him blindly. Often I have gone to the confessional with the hope of speaking, and yet nothing comes. Sometime last year, I told Father about this, and he told me that this should be put before you. I am not complaining. I only want to go all the way with Christ. I am not writing to you as to his grace, but to the Father of my soul. For to you and from you I have not kept hidden anything. Tell me what your child should do. I want to obey at any cost. And if you tell me to continue like this till the end of my life, I am ready to obey cheerfully. Please, Your Grace, pray for me, that I may draw very close to God. Your devoted child in Jesus Christ, Mother Teresa, Missionaries of Charity.
To this bearing of her soul, the Archbishop answered with a short summary of the teaching of St. John of the Cross on the dark night without directly referring to it.
In what you reveal, there is nothing which is not known in the mystical life. It is a grace God grants you, the longing to be His entirely, without return on self or creatures, to live by Him and in Him. But that longing which comes from God can never be satisfied in this world, simply because He is infinite and we finite.
He again pointed to the great success of the mission as a sign of God's presence.
God's blessing is on your work. Thank Him for it,
he wrote, recommending her to pray,
"Do with me what thou wilt, and refuse him nothing."
Without knowing it, the Archbishop was echoing the private vow she had made 14 years earlier, not to refuse God anything under the pain of mortal sin. He was touching that secret bond that was hiding everything within her. Did she perceive in this exhortation God's hand encouraging her to continue in the way he had chosen for her? As the excruciating inner pain persisted, she hoped for a few days of respite during the upcoming retreat. In her response to the Archbishop, she showed her determination to give Jesus a free hand and accept anything he would permit in order to satiate his thirst for souls.
Please pray for me, that it may please God to lift this darkness from my soul for only a few days. For sometimes the agony of desolation is so great, and at the same time the longing for the absent one so deep, that the only prayer which I can still say is, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in Thee. I will satiate Thy thirst for souls.
To smile at God. The retreat preached by Jesuit Father Lawrence Trevor Picacci in April 1956 did not impart the hoped-for relief, but it was the occasion of a decisive meeting. Only later did Mother Teresa reveal to Father Picacci its significance.
Some years back, when you gave the retreat to the novices, and I made it with them, our Lord forced me to speak to you and open myself. And then, as if to approve my sacrifice, He made you our confessor.
Although it would have been legitimate under the circumstances to seek help or relief, Mother Teresa stressed at various times that it was solely at God's insistence that she had made known her spiritual state to Father Picacci.
I don't know why He wants me to open my soul to you. I do it because I can't refuse,
she wrote later. To the Archbishop, she reported the comfort the retreat had afforded her.
I was happy to be one of the postulants once more, so I had many hours of prayer.
The resolution she made during these days of prayer covered important aspects of her life, her attitude when humiliated, her charity toward others, and her smile as an expression of her loving disposition toward God in spite of her feelings.
My resolution, first, is to follow Jesus more closely in humiliations. With the sisters, kind, very kind, but firm in obedience. With the poor, gentle and considerate. With the sick, extremely kind. Second, to smile at God. Pray for me that in the first and second resolution, I give glory to God.
Rather than hardening her, her correspondence shows that suffering rendered her more kind-hearted. She encouraged others to smile in suffering as she herself did.
My dear Jacqueline Teresa, I wonder how disappointed you must be with my silence, but please forgive me, as I am kept going the whole day. Please thank in my name all those who have given so generously. I use the money for the convent. You will be glad to hear we have got a new house for the professed. It was a miserable-looking building. Now it looks really beautiful. Our chapel is there also. I hope someday you will come to India and see our lovely chapel. The priests love coming here for Holy Mass. How are you, my little sister? You don't know how much I rely on you, on your love for Jesus and souls. It seems as if I neglect you. But I don't think a day passes without me uniting myself to you. So what does it matter whether I write or not? You know in the Sacred Heart of Jesus we are one. So smile and have that total surrender, loving trust, and perfect cheerfulness, which is the spirit of our society, and so bring many, many souls to Christ. Love Jesus, live with Jesus, that you may live for Jesus. Mother Teresa.
Archbishop Perrier continued to counsel Mother Teresa concerning the darkness. At this time, he interpreted it as purification and protection against pride in the face of the remarkable fruitfulness of her work.
With regard to the feeling of loneliness, of abandonment, of not being wanted, of darkness of the soul, it is a state well known by spiritual writers and directors of conscience. This is willed by God in order to attach us to Him alone, an antidote to our external activities, and also, like any temptation, a way of keeping us humble in the midst of applauses, publicity, praises, appreciation, etc., and success. To feel that we are nothing, that we can do nothing, is the realization of a fact. We know it. We say it. Some feel it. That is why stick to God and, like the little Bernadette at the end of her last retreat wrote, God alone, God everywhere, God in everybody and in everything, God always. With St. Ignatius, you may add, my only wish and desire, the one thing I humbly crave to have, is the grace to love God, to love Him alone. Beyond that, I ask for nothing more. I wish you all a happy feast of St. Ignatius. God bless you, one and all.
Mother Teresa took his advice seriously, yet grasped a further purpose to her suffering. It was the price she was paying for others to come closer to God. A couple of months later, she asked the Archbishop,
please pray for me now more than ever. I understand how close I must come to God if I wish to bring souls to Him. The dark holes, there our Lord is always really present.
From the time the darkness had set in and thwarted the feeling of Jesus' presence, Mother Teresa had nonetheless been recognizing Him in the distressing disguise of the poor.
When I walk through the slums or enter the dark holes, there our Lord is always really present.
The dark holes had become the privileged meeting place with Him. There she wanted to love Him to the end.
As for myself, there is but one desire, to love God as He has never been loved, with deep personal love. In my heart, there seems to be no other thing but He, no other love but His. The streets, Caligat, slums, and sisters have become places where He lives His own life of love to the full. Pray for me, Your Grace, that there be really only Jesus in me.
2 months later, in her first letter to Father Picacci, Mother Teresa tried to convey what she was enduring.
Today, we the professed had a beautiful day of prayer. It did me good to see my children pray so fervently. We have much to thank God for these young hearts. If you only knew what I am going through. He is destroying everything in me. But as I hold no claim on myself, He is free to do anything. Pray for me that I keep smiling at Him.
Aware that God, whose presence she did not feel, was responsible for her pain, she surrendered to His work within her soul. Yet she appreciated this new opportunity of sharing her innermost thoughts with someone she trusted. It provided a sense of release.
Happy to be nobody, even to God.
Though Father Picacci was now Mother Teresa's confessor, she continued to confide in Archbishop Perrier with impressive transparency.
Your Grace, why is it that everybody is so good to us? I have no answer but one deep gratitude. There is so much contradiction in my soul. Such deep longing for God, so deep that it is painful, a suffering continual. And yet not wanted by God, repulsed, empty, no faith, no love, no zeal. Souls hold no attraction. Heaven means nothing. To me it looks like an empty place. The thought of it means nothing to me, and yet this torturing longing for God. Pray for me, please, that I keep smiling at Him in spite of everything. For I am only His. So He has every right over me. I am perfectly happy to be nobody, even to God. Your devoted child in Jesus Christ, Mother Teresa, Missionaries of Charity.
Feeling that the very pillars of her life, faith, hope, love, had disappeared must have been agony. The darkness had dimmed the certainty of God's love for her and the reality of heaven. The burning zeal for the salvation of souls that had led her to India had apparently vanished. At the same time, paradoxically, she clung steadfastly to the faith she professed and, without a drop of consolation, labored wholeheartedly in her daily service of the poorest of the poor. Mother Teresa professed to be perfectly happy to be nobody, even to God. In 1947, she had written to Archbishop Perrier,
"By nature, I am sensitive, love beautiful and nice things, comfort and all the comfort can give, to be loved and love."
She normally remained silent about any lack of love, though she felt it keenly. How much more sensitive must she have been to signs of God's love, or their apparent absence? Her longing to sense His closeness made the darkness all the more excruciating. Yet she had attained a spiritual maturity that helped her humbly and ungrudgingly assume the last place and happily be nobody even to God.
To become an apostle of joy.
During her yearly retreats, Mother Teresa would review her life and renew her commitment to strive after holiness, and she was very demanding of herself. In April 1957, she made known to Archbishop Perrier her determination to uproot the defects of her strong personality. Following through on her resolution of the previous year, she set herself to overcome her shortcomings by meekness and humility.
"I speak my faults. Sometimes I have been rather quick and harsh in voice when correcting the sisters. Even with the people, I have been impatient a few times. For these and all my other faults, I humbly ask pardon and penance, and I beg a renewal of my general permissions, of giving, receiving, buying, selling, borrowing, lending, destroying, of giving of these permissions to the sisters in kind and in money, for the sisters and all the works of the society, and I beg you to admonish me for all my faults. I want to be a saint according to His heart, meek and humble. Therefore, at these two virtues of Jesus, I will try my best. My second resolution is to become an apostle of joy, to console the Sacred Heart of Jesus through joy. Please ask Our Lady to give me her heart, so that I may with greater ease fulfill His desire in me. I want to smile even at Jesus, and so hide, if possible, the pain and the darkness of my soul, even from Him. The sisters are making a very fervent retreat. We have much to thank God for giving us such generous sisters."
To commit herself to becoming an apostle of joy, when humanly speaking, she might have felt at the brink of despair, was heroic indeed. She could do so because her joy was rooted in the certitude of the ultimate goodness of God's loving plan for her. And though her faith in this truth did not touch her soul with consolation, she ventured to meet the challenges of life with a smile. Her one lever was her blind trust in God. Her magnanimous desire to hide her pain even from Jesus was an expression of her great and delicate love. She did all she could not to burden others with her sufferings. Even less would she wish her sufferings to be a burden to her spouse, Jesus. Compared to His sufferings and to those of His poor, she did not consider her pain worth calling attention to. She aspired instead to console His heart through joy. For this, she counted on Mary's support.
I offered to pass even eternity in this terrible suffering.
In her letters to Archbishop Perrier, Mother Teresa had reached the point where she could describe her interior pain in greater depth. It was to the tortures of hell that she now compared the total separation from God she was feeling.
"Pray for me. Pray that I may have the courage to keep on smiling at Jesus. I understand a little the tortures of hell, without God. I have no words to express what I want to say. And yet last First Friday, knowingly and willingly, I offered to the Sacred Heart to pass even eternity in this terrible suffering, if this would give him now a little more pleasure, or the love of a single soul. I want to speak, yet nothing comes. I find no words to express the depths of the darkness. In spite of it all, I am his little one, and I love him. Not for what he gives, but for what he takes.
About 10 years earlier, when seeking permission to leave Loretto and to begin her mission in the slums, Mother Teresa had written about
the poor who suffer most terrible sufferings, and then also eternity in darkness, because there are no nuns to give them a helping hand in their own dark holes.
She had insisted that it would be
worth going through every possible suffering just for one single soul.
And
offering everything for just that one, because that one would bring great joy to the heart of Jesus.
Now that she was bearing the tortures of hell, her willingness to go further in her love confirmed that her earlier assertions had not been made in a momentary excess of zeal. Knowingly and willingly, she offered to spend even eternity in this terrible, painful darkness if it would please Jesus and make just a single person love him. Her love for God went hand in hand with her love for neighbor. In the same letter, she had unveiled another profound suffering of her heart.
I had a long letter from my old mother. At last they received news of me, and it is only now that she knows about the Missionaries of Charity. In 1948, she heard I was leaving Loretto, and then nothing, so she thought I was dead. Please pray for me.
Upon hearing of her daughter's intention to commence her new mission among the poor, Mother Teresa's mother, Drana, had offered her full support and encouragement. 11 years had passed before any further exchange of letters took place because of the political situation in Albania. This had been an excruciating suffering for both, but Mother Teresa kept silent about it.
The darkness is becoming greater.
Mother Teresa's efforts at helping the neediest continued to attract attention and recognition in the local press.
Mother Teresa needs no introduction to Calcutta. Her zeal and compassion have touched every remote corner of the city. She has met opposition and the maddening disregard for our vast problem of human distress with a defiance belying her frailty. Mother to innumerable abandoned children, companion to the dying and destitute, succor to the diseased, she has carried the battle against suffering to fields never before considered and hardly known.
At the same time, she shared with Archbishop Perrier her increasing inner struggle.
Please pray for me. The longing for God is terribly painful, and yet the darkness is becoming greater. What contradiction there is in my soul. The pain within is so great that I really don't feel anything for all the publicity and the talk of the people. Please, ask Our Lady to be my mother in this darkness.
While in darkness, Mother Teresa was still able to promptly recognize and appreciate the graces she received, sharing them at times with her confessors.
When I went to your chapel to thank Jesus, there I received a tremendous grace. I shall tell you next Thursday. Please, thank Jesus for what he gave.
In June 1958, in a letter to Father Picacci, she acknowledged one more grace.
You must have prayed much for me. I have found real happiness in suffering, but the pain is sometimes unbearable. You don't know how miserable and nothing I am.
Mother Teresa did not enjoy suffering for the sake of suffering. In fact, she found it almost unbearable. But she treasured the opportunity of being united to Jesus on the cross and showing him her love. the mad desires she had had when she was at the peak of her consolation in the months following the inspiration of 1946 still burned within her heart.
Pray that I may love God with a love with which He has never been loved before. What a foolish desire.
The smile is a big cloak. These mad desires, along with the conviction that the work is His, gave Mother Teresa the strength to move forward. For nearly 10 years, she had been observing God's action in her young congregation. Grateful for all that God was doing for her, she used every opportunity to advance His work among the poor. In 1958, she was hoping to open a center for lepers called Shanti Nagar, City of Peace. Immersed in the pain of rejection, she was extremely sympathetic to the lepers' experience of being rejected, unwanted, and unloved.
Your Grace, knowing how very overworked you are, I have not written. The other day I sent the sacred returns to Reverend Monsignor Barber. I could not but just kneel and thank God for all. 10 years ago the call was but a longing. Today it is a real living reality. The society lives with His life, works with His power. I love the society with all the powers of my soul, yet the conviction that it is wholly His own keeps me in the spirit and feelings that I am His little instrument, His little nothing, that it is He and not I that works. The conditions under which the leper families live are terrible. I would like to give them better homes, uplift them close to the Sacred Heart, make them know that they too are the loved children of God, and so give them something to live for. I want slowly to build like a little town of their own where our lepers could live normal lives. If Our Lady really wants it, she will see to it. I would like to call it Shanti Nagar, City of Peace. All this only if Your Grace approves. If you only knew what goes on within my heart. Sometimes the pain is so great that I feel as if everything will break. The smile is a big cloak which covers a multitude of pains. Pray for me, please. Yours in Jesus, Mother Teresa, Missionaries of Charity.
The smile that covered a multitude of pains was no hypocritical mask. She was trying to hide her sufferings, even from God, so as not to make others, especially the poor, suffer because of them. When she promised to do a little extra praying and smiling for one of her friends, she was alluding to an acutely painful and costly sacrifice, to pray when prayer was so difficult, and to smile when her interior pain was agonizing. While her interior trial continued, her sisters were giving her added strength.
The new sisters are just blooming into saints. All of them are such a joy to me. Looking at them, I can do double the amount of work,
she wrote to a friend. An oasis in the desert. In October 1958, Mother Teresa unexpectedly received a major grace on the occasion of the Requiem Mass for Pope Pius XII, as she reported to Archbishop Perrier.
You will be very happy to hear the day you offered your Holy Mass for our Holy Father's soul in Cathedral, I pray to him for a proof that God is pleased with the society. There and then disappear that long darkness, that pain of loss, of loneliness, of that strange suffering of 10 years. Today my soul is filled with love, with joy untold, with an unbroken union of love. Please thank God with me and for me.
This experience was like an oasis in the desert. Not only was it a tangible confirmation that God was pleased with the society, but it was also a refreshment for her weary soul. It reaffirmed her belief that God was ultimately responsible for her interior condition, and thus encouraged her to even greater trust. This consolation, however, lasted but a short time, as she reported to the Archbishop.
Our Lord thought it better for me to be in the tunnel. So he is gone again, leaving me alone. I am grateful to him for the month of love he gave me. Please ask Our Lady to keep me close to herself that I may not miss the way in the darkness.
As Mother Teresa had entered fully into the core of her vocation, the mystery of the thirst of Jesus crucified, she willingly accepted being in the tunnel once again, enwrapped in pitch-black darkness. What mattered to her was that she loved God, whether or not he granted her the consolation and joy of his felt presence. And Christ preferred to unite her, as he did his sorrowful mother, to his terrible thirst on the cross. She was to embody that thirsting love of Jesus for the poor and suffering whom she served. Not knowing when the light would appear again, she clung to Mary, trusting that with her help, she would not lose the way. Chapter 9.
My God, how painful is this unknown pain?
An imprint of the Passion.
What are you doing, my God, to one so small? Mother Teresa. My deepest secret.
Mother Teresa had revealed her spiritual state to Father Pacacci during the retreat he preached to her community in April 1956. In addition to the striking openness that marked her dealings with all her spiritual directors, a notable spontaneity in sharing her pain marked her relationship and correspondence with Father Pacacci. She was pouring out her soul to someone she trusted not only as a spiritual director, but also as a friend.
15th August, 1957. Dear Father, I want to express my thanks, not for what you gave, but the way it was given. Forgive me for asking you. Does our Lord not wish you to speak to my soul? Your encouragements and confessions have been a help, but I am ready most willingly to give up even this for souls. No priest except Father Van Exem and you have known the darkness in me. If you think silence will please him more, I am most happy to keep it for the rest of my life. Pray for me. Yours in Jesus, Mother Teresa, Missionaries of Charity.
To Father Pacacci, she had entrusted her deepest secret while insisting that its sacredness should be protected.
You hold my deepest secret. Please, for his sake, keep everything you read as a matter of conscience. I have trusted you blindly. I wanted to give you something beautiful today, so this was my gift to you. Keep it for Jesus.
Despite her confidence in Father Pacacci, there remained a gap in communication that she apparently could not bridge. When he realized this, he advised her to write about her inner experience. He aimed not just to get acquainted with her spiritual state and be in a better position to guide her, but above all, to help her cope with this terrible suffering. Thanks to the preservation of the correspondence that followed, the intensity of Mother Teresa's suffering is better grasped.
Here are the three letters. Please read them, and if you find them stupid, destroy them. Please forgive me that I could not tell you what I wanted you to know. I am just full. I did not know that love could make one suffer so much. That was suffering of loss. This is of longing, of pain human, but caused by the divine. Pray for me, more now than ever.
Mother Teresa was aware that it was love that made her suffering so acute. The absence of her beloved had turned into a torturing longing for him. She was torn between the feeling of having lost God and the unquenchable desire to reach him. It was a veritable martyrdom of desire. Though bewildered, she was not disoriented by her inner darkness. Rather, she turned it into a blessing by offering her pain for the poor she served.
Our friend, the Punjabi girl, is in terrible pain. When I saw her, she was crying loudly. I left when her mother came. Let us pray much for her. I wish I could suffer more spiritually, if this would give her relief. What a contrast between the rich and the poor. My people in Caligot are living martyrs, and yet not a word. A young boy who suffered horrible pain. At last, he said, he was sorry to die, because he had just learned to suffer for the love of God.
Only by possessing a firm and ardent love, the very love she felt she had lost, could she choose to suffer for those she loved, the poor. Her dedication to them spurred her on to greater generosity in offering up her own suffering. Like them, she accepted her interior martyrdom in silence, hiding it even from those who were closest to her, and offering it for the love of God and of the people she claimed as her own.
God will fill what he had emptied.
For 10 years, except for the interlude of a month, the darkness had not weakened its grip on her soul. At times, a short phrase from her reading rekindled the hope that the darkness would end, as she confided to Father Pacacci.
I read something beautiful in Brother Benito S.J.'s life. There would come a time when God will fill what he had emptied.
The state of Brother Benito's soul at the final stage of his life, total desolation and hopelessness, as described in a biography of Brother Benito, must have appeared to Mother Teresa much like her own.
Even God seemed to elude him. Like before, in his novitiate days, when God hid behind his gift of frustration and emptiness. Was God hostile, too? Impossible. God was just, whatever his design for desolate souls. There would be a time when he would fill what he had emptied. Of this Benito was certain, even though he couldn't see the hope of it. When the time came, the darkness of night would be dispelled by flashes of God's mercy.
This was her hope as well. Realizing that her responsibility toward the rapidly growing community and its apostolate was placing heavy demands on her, and knowing her inner sufferings, Father Pacacci advised a long retreat, hoping it would provide some rest and respite. Initially, she refused this potential source of consolation, charity toward her sisters taking precedence over her own comfort.
I have prayed and thought well. Though it would be a real pleasure for me to make the long retreat, still I do.